Good morning, welcome to Stations of the Resurrection. My name is Martin Saunders. I'm the Vicar of St. Philip and St. James Church, and today we're looking at the 14th point in the Gospels where Jesus appears to his disciples. And we're looking at John 21, 20-23, Jesus and the beloved disciple. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honour, glory and power, now and in all eternity. Amen. So reading from John's Gospel, from John 21, 20-23. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? Jesus said to him, no, if it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. So the rumour spread in the community that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Our reflection this morning, again, is taken from words written by Ken Gardner in his commentary on the Gospel of John. And don't forget that this passage follows from our reading, our last reading, which is around Jesus restoring John and asking him those three times, do you love me more than these? So Ken writes, perhaps Peter is so churned up by this incident that he has not appreciated the seriousness of the command, follow me. He turns and sees that John has been following them. It may seem to us that this was insensitive if Jesus wanted to have a private conversation with Peter, but we were not there and we cannot judge the actual situation. John and Peter were close friends. John was also particularly close to Jesus. He indeed was the disciple whom Jesus loved. It may well be that John actually overheard this conversation and thus was able to report it in such detail. Be that as it may, Peter asks, what about him? Having been told by Jesus of his own future, Peter is interested to learn what lies ahead for John. Natural enough, maybe, but Jesus has in mind the future of the church, which is to convey salvation to the world all down the centuries, for which Peter has a crucial and unique role. So is John's role, but it will be different. There is a matter of balance here. We need to and can learn from the example of other believers, but our loyalty is supremely to Jesus as Lord, and we are responsible to him. Each of us has a unique calling, and that is what we must follow. So having warned Peter what lies ahead for him, that is imprisonment and death, he says, if I should choose that John remains alive until I return, that's between him and me, nothing to do with you. Peter, do you hear what I'm saying to you? You are to follow where I lead you. Jesus made that reference to John's future as an illustration, in contrast to what he had revealed about Peter's. Unlike the latter, it was a supposition for purposes of argument, not a prophecy. However, apparently, this statement had been spread abroad. Then there was a rumour throughout the church, the brethren that is, or at least part of it, that John would not die. The author here refutes that and explains how the misunderstanding arose. Some scholars believe that this points to the fact that John was still alive at the time that this was written. However, that's not necessarily so. John might have died, causing some to doubt the faith because a prophecy that he would not die had proved false. In either case, the author is at pains to clarify what Jesus actually said. So those were the words of Ken Gardner. And for us, we are left with our own challenges, aren't we? We need to and can learn from the example of other believers, but our loyalty is supremely to Jesus as Lord, and we are responsible to him. We are responsible to Jesus. Which I guess leads us to that question for meditation which is around if Jesus were to be physically present and watching all of your life, all your thoughts, all your actions, would he find you loyal to him in everything that you do? Would he find you bringing glory to God in all your thoughts, words, deeds and actions? Reality is that Jesus is present with us. It's God that knows our thoughts before they're formed into words. God is omniscient, omnipresent. And so we in our living need, as it were, merely to remember that, but then to live in the light of God's love for us, but also his knowledge of what we get up to. So let's take time to pray. Here's the pre-written prayer then. We praise you and we bless you, our risen Lord Jesus Christ, King of glory, for your single-minded commitment to your Father's will. May we be free from distractions of envy or self, that we might walk the way of the cross and know the power of your risen life. To you, Lord Jesus, treading boldly on the path of suffering, be honour and glory, now and forever. Amen. Just take notice of that prayer. May we be free from distractions of envy or self, that we might walk the way of the cross and know the power of your risen life. And Father, we do indeed pray that we might not be distracted by over worry and concern about this virus, distracted by the ordinary things of life that now seem quite difficult, like making sure we have enough food and getting it safely. May we not be distracted by worries about the future. May we not be distracted by envy as to what other people are doing and how they are perhaps doing lots of self-improvement or even home improvement, and we are just surviving. Lord, we pray for your wisdom, that we might be people who are self-sufficient in the sense that we find our sufficiency, we find our worth in knowing that we are your children, that we are adopted into your family. Help us indeed to walk the way of the cross, not merely carrying it on our back as a burden, but taking time to hold that cross out front and to adore and to meditate and to take in that reality that Jesus died, that we don't have to. And may we indeed know the power of your risen life, Lord. That power, that same power at work in us has raised Christ from the dead. May we know your power working through us, that you might draw others to yourself through our actions, through our prayers, through our giving you permission to work in and through us. Lord, have mercy, we pray. Amen. So praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Amen. Friends, thank you for listening. This was the 14th station of the resurrection. The next one will be available on Monday the 18th of May at 9 a.m. when Jean James will be helping us to think about how Jesus appeared to over 500 people at once from 1 Corinthians. Have a great weekend. Thank you.